Beautiful.
Wonderful. Here we
are. Wow. Two strangers.
Two strangers. We haven't seen each other in years.
Matrix Resurrection, more like Matrix cameos. That's something I put in my notes several weeks ago.
What is this in reference to?
Well, you brought it up at one point that you saw Matrix Resurrection, and then I finally watched it.
Oh, cameos in Matrix Resurrection.
Oh my God, yeah, lots. Cameo.
How did you like Matrix Resurrection?
It was fine.
I loved it.
Okay.
I agree that it was fine.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
That's good. You can love something and still think it's fine.
Yes.
Season 6, episode 8, Dragon's Teeth.
Is it episode 8? No, it's seven. Episode 7.
Season 6, episode 7.
Dragon's Teeth.
We're a little rusty. There's an explosion and a girlie is serving absolute cunt.
She's got heels.
She's got a rubble dress
with an asymmetric neckline.
Oh, incredible.
Love it.
They're aliens.
Gagrin.
They're going into cryo sleep.
They're going into stasis.
And he's like, 5 years. I see this ending badly.
That's just your natural pessimism.
Mm-hmm. I'm a woman who probably won't remember all the segments. Sam Hickman.
And I'm another word for fool, Kat Deerfield.
Oh, and this is... Women talking about Star Trek Voyager. It's Kat and it's Sam. They are two friends. Women talking about Star Trek Voyager. It's time that we start the show.
I still know where everything is.
We're monthly now.
Yeah, opening
this
tangent.
This is a monthly podcast.
We have a new upload schedule. Thank you for bearing with us while we did not update you on that decision.
I updated the Twitter.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I have not updated the Instagram or Tumblr in a very long time, but one of these days, maybe I'll get back on that.
I have a statement to read.
Oh,
a pre-prepared statement.
Okay.
We're monthly. I feel like monthly should revive some of the enthusiasm for watching this show.
Yes.
Like, we're making it to the end. If we are both still alive, we will be making it to the end.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Even if our season 7 are 5-minute episodes long. Even if it's just me and you individually being like, this episode, it was fine, and we watched it. Okay, see you next month.
We're not going to quit.
We will be finishing.
We're not quitters.
This is a promise to the Meredith.
No, I think, so we had a conversation about my time commitments outside of the podcast, and also I think you're right that it will revitalize some of our enthusiasm for the podcast, because it has... Not for the podcast, but for watching Voyager. I think we've struggled with motivation for that.
Yeah.
This is, I will say, tentatively, my favorite series of Star Trek.
What, 6?
What?
Oh, you mean Voyager?
Sorry, series of, the franchise.
Sorry, I'm very British at the moment. I think series 6 is like the best one.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I feel like the more we've done this podcast, the less I remember about Voyager somehow. Mm. Like, it remains my favorite series of the franchise. I definitely was getting to the point where watching 2 episodes a month felt like a chore.
Yeah.
and that's not the relationship that I want to have with the podcast or with Star Trek Voyager. So I think this will be good. And our new release schedule is the 29th of every month. Do you want to share why that is?
Because it's Threshold Day.
Because 29th of January is Threshold Day.
So we'll hit Threshold Day. You're welcome, Meredith.
It's sort of a weird choice, but you know, we just needed a date, and that's what we've settled on.
We're doing what we're doing. Okay?
We're doing what we're doing. That's the deal. Monthly uploads now.
Do you have anything else you want to...
Yes, I listened to the audiobook of Born With Teeth, and I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast.
What is Born With Teeth?
Born With Teeth is Kate Mulgrew's autobiography.
Oh, slay.
It's a wild ride.
Okay.
And
I would expect nothing less from
our recommend
queen.
It.
Oh.
Question mark.
What's it about?
Her
what's
life.
What's she been up to?
Oh, so much. So much that there were moments when I paused it and tried to put together the math in my head, because the stuff that she managed to fit into her early 20s, oh boy. busy lady.
It's called cocaine.
I don't know. Fascinating.
What's she get up to?
Professionally and personally, a lot.
Oh.
There was a lot of career success.
Oh.
There was a very much unplanned baby that she gave up for adoption.
Oh.
Then there was I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but she ended up in a relationship that was interesting, to say the least, and that I did not. Fascinating. She ended up briefly/maybe not briefly at all living with the son of a shoe design empire in Italy. She was just there for a while.
Wait, which shoes?
I don't know.
Oh.
Sorry. Well, you'll have to listen to the book and find out. Yeah, I really, really would recommend the audiobook because it's read by Kate Mulgrew. I will say that there is some very jarring descriptions of some sexual assaults, both that she experienced and that other people experienced, that I hope they're okay with her sharing in her book. That's just something I would say is worth being aware of going in. But it's a wild ride. It's a wild ride. Very interesting. She's given to some offhand pronouncements that I just could not have ever...
She a Makoava queen?
A little bit. Yeah, I also assume that it was ghostwritten.
Oh, probably.
But also...
Maybe not.
This is the thing. I'm just like... I mean, if this is the thing. It's very well written. I would say that it's extremely well written. And I don't want to assume that she can't have written it. But she doesn't have, like, a background as a writer. So it would be very impressive if she had... written it sort of like without any assistance. However, if someone did ghostwrite it and they were able, like, the talent it would take to be able to write the way that Kate Mulgrew talks to this degree, I don't know. Maybe she did just write it.
Yeah, well, maybe it was like a dictaphone situation.
Yeah, I think that it probably, yeah. I shouldn't say, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think that she probably did, like, pretty much write it, because it's
maybe
just
she
so
just had a very good editor.
Yeah, it could just be. Anyway. Sorry, that's...
With teeth.
I feel so mean now that I alleged that it was ghostwritten. I feel like she would be very stern with me.
In today's modern world.
In today's modern world.
Everything's ghostwritten.
Now, you said you wanted to talk on the podcast about something to do with that video you sent me of Kate Mulgrew at a Q&A.
Oh.
Also, long-time listeners of the pod will notice that I have now learned how to pronounce her name correctly thanks to listening to her autobiography. Just add her to the long list of Star Trek actors whose names I have been saying wrong on a podcast for years.
You're like Tim Roish.
I got Tim Russ, I think. I was saying Garrett Wong's name wrong for years. No idea.
Oh. What were you saying?
I was saying Garrett Wang.
Sometimes text is hard to...
Yeah, well, I had never heard it said, and it never occurred to me to look it up.
So you want to do a formal apology to the Delta Flyers? Is that where we're getting at?
I do owe him an apology. I was also saying, this didn't come up on the podcast so much, but I was not aware that Nana visitor's name is pronounced Nana. That was something I was not aware of until I listened to another audiobook. Audiobooks, they teach you how to pronounce things.
They do.
This is the problem. This is my problem. I know so many words from reading.
And I know no words from reading with my eyes. I only read with my ears. I cannot remember. It was so long ago that I sent you that video. And
yeah.
I don't think I got all the way through it. Because I just found it like, oh, she shouldn't have to be there.
Yeah. So
it's Kate Mulgrew and she's on a panel and somebody's like, what do you think about erotica?
Yeah.
And she's like... Please stop.
Well, it was someone asking her if she'd read. I don't remember the title of it. I don't think it was Slash, but it was. I can't remember the title of it. But it was just a title that indicated that it was snotty fan fiction about Catherine Janeway. And she reacted very
appropriately.
Strongly. Well, yeah, I mean, you said you had some thoughts you wanted to share on the podcast.
I can't remember any of my thoughts. It's been too long.
You shouldn't hold back from saying things to me because you want to say them on the podcast.
Because
I want to know what you had to say.
I cannot remember.
I think we were having a conversation about, like, people inflicting that on
Oh yeah,
on actors is like really unpleasant.
Maybe next time I'll write down my opinions.
Write and read all the fan fiction that you want. But I think we should not involve.
Yeah, don't come after the people
unless they're like seeking it, which some of them do. But anyway, we'll move on.
Anyway, Voyager Bridge. They're stuck in a debris corridor with 800-year-old debris. Janeway says to Tom, be a good rat and find us the cheese.
Oh, amazing. I love that line. I did write, girl, what? But I do love that line. It is one of my favorite.
It's a wild one. There's a vessel and the guy's like, who are you? This is our underspace. Is underspace a thing that we've encountered before? Or like, no,
I don't think so.
They're out of the blue. We really had to be like, okay, here we are.
I have something from this scene that I wanted to talk to you about. Janeway says, I'd like to avoid becoming a part of this garbage stream. And I was really trying to make a joke about that.
You were
that.
Like, this podcast.
Like, me when...
We should have called this garbage stream.
Garbage stream would have been a great name.
So much better than women talking about Star Trek Voyager.
It's not a good name, is it?
It is. I mean, it's
good
enough.
We're in season 6. We're fine.
Are you planning on transitioning anytime soon?
No.
Okay. Well, then we're still
but it's
true.
Good, it's good to check in. You know, when you commit to one gender identity in the name of an intellectual property, it's always important to check in with oneself. So far, so good.
They're pushed out by this ship out of the tunnel. They like alter the harmonic frequency of the ship and like scoop them out. And then they're like 2 light years away from where they were at the beginning or whatever. And the guy is like, hey, so delete this. And Janeway is like, no. And he's like, no, I'm going to come aboard and I'm going to delete the files.
Give me your phone.
Yeah, truly. Truly. And she's like, no. And so he starts shooting at them and he gets all of his friends involved. And they're like, okay, we're going to have to find like a little planet to hide out.
Yeah.
Because this seems insane. And so they find Radiation Planet. And of course, they go underneath Radiation Planet, and it's a nuclear winter. It's a Cold War ep. Slay. 892 years. I keep saying slay. I was doing it this morning at this like event. I was like, slay, girl boss. They're absolutely going to find that girly. Anyway, we get like a CGI landing. Do AI images count as CGI? I feel like we are never using the term CGI anymore.
Oh, that's a very interesting question. My instinct is to say no, but then of course, like it is.
It's a computer generated image.
Interesting. Interesting.
Although a lot of like AI imaging is just like stolen from other
places.
Well,
this is the thing that I mean, there's nothing in the terms in CGI that would preclude it from being AI. But I think the implication is that a person used their creative skill and ability to
do CGI
and talent to make art using computer generated tools, whereas AI generated art is a pastiche that is stolen from other people's intellectual property. Are there any AI tools that aren't stolen? Because anything that trains on a large data set of art, like, it's stolen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're like scanning the planet and they find survivors, so they're gonna go rescue them, and Seven gets to do the cunt heels this time.
Yeah, oh boy,
the direction of this
heels
episode
in the cave.
Was really
he's got
fun.
Heels in the cave.
Heels in the cave, that would be our title of episode if we did titles of episode.
It should be heels in the cave.
Heels in the cave. That's us if we ever took up like spelunking, but also we were pro wrestlers.
Yep, sounds good.
We'd be heels in the cave. Thank God they didn't bring Tom Paris. Could you imagine being woken up 900 years in the future and the first thing you see is that guy? Seven knows something or whatever, and then she just like wakes up this guy. Just nobody asks her. It's ethically very questionable. She just wakes him up. And somebody is like, they could be hostile, and she says, most humanoids are. Did they ever assimilate a dog in the Borg? And it go Borg, 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 Borg.
We've talked about this before. We've talked about whether they only assimilate humanoid species.
But he would be a very good boy.
Sapient, sentient,
like,
whatever.
Like, resistance is useless. Maybe they don't want the dog because the dog too fast.
Oh, maybe.
Dog too fast. Anyway, we're both very loopy this episode.
We are, and we are get recording ready. In the daytime. I thought that would get us out of the loopiness, but I'm hungover. You're tired.
The guy wakes up and
such is life.
Oh no, the lady is a corpse.
Oh no.
And he's like, my wife. In sick bay, is this a prime directive breach? We learn more about the subspace corridors.
Yeah.
And this species is hated by the Terray, which was the original guys who pushed them out and were like, delete this. And they mapped all the corridors, but they didn't write it down. They put it in their minds. They go back to the planet. It's a shame she didn't show more courage at the end, is what this guy says.
Yeah.
I don't know what this guy's name is.
Gegrin.
Gegrin. We got like the first glimpses of Gegrin maybe not being a great guy.
And Janeway is like, ew.
And he's like, when you're walking in the rain, you don't just like scurry from covering to covering. You just walk. And Janeway's like, I would just bring an umbrella. What's wrong with you?
That was really, I liked that. That feels very Janeway to me.
Plasma bombs start going off. And in the bridge, they use one of the planet's satellites to help them hit the ship. And the Terray start retreating, and the guy is like, kill them all. And he's like, what are you talking about? They make a deal to get the sleepy gang back on their feet so that they can find a new planet, and so they will in return help Voyager go through the space corridors to get home. So the stasis pods, they go down to the stasis pods, and they're as far as the eye can see, and Chakotay says something about dragon's teeth. In astrometrics, we learn that they've never written down the space corridor, so there's no map for them to have.
Yeah.
So essentially they're getting nothing out of this episode. But they all know it, and some guys are gonna find a new world or whatever, and some are gonna revive people. So they like split into little teams. Neelix goes to see Naomi Wildman. And she doesn't like the new children, which is suspicious, because they called Neelix names and made fun of his ears.
Yeah.
This scene is a single shot.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is. This episode is like
direction.
Good. Yeah.
This episode had a lot of
who directed this episode.
Choices being made. And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Especially this deep in the season.
I think it was Winrick Colby. Yes, it was. It was directed by Winrick Colby.
Wow. Thanks.
Whose name I'm almost certainly mispronouncing. Winrich. Thanks. Rick. They call him Rick.
Thanks,
Colby.
Ricky.
He was dating Kate Mulgrew during the shooting of Voyager, something which she does not mention in her memoir.
Wow.
Which is interesting.
Oh. Wow, taking your work home with you.
But like she does talk about... She talks about the fact that
everything
they were dating.
Else.
No, no, no. She talks about the fact that they were dating in an interview book about Star Trek that I also listened to. But
yeah,
read. It's reading. It's reading. Listening is reading.
It's reading with your eyes.
It's reading with your ears. So she. It's not like she's keeping it a secret, but I think maybe it disrupted the narrative flow that she was constructing in the memoir. Anyway.
B'Elanna is in engineering and she's talking to this guy and he loves the Klingons. He's like, today is a good day to die. What do you think is like the best day to die though? Like a Tuesday?
April 25th.
That was yesterday.
I know, but that's the perfect day in, it's the joke in Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Because it's not too, I mean, here it is actually still very, very cold. So,
yeah, well, not still. It got warm and then it got cold again.
It got warm for like a single day.
It was warm for a number of days in a row.
Like a single day.
It was not.
It's a war species. Oh no. Neelix does a Google of the Vadoir and they're getting all these folk tales up that are all bad. And he's like, it's not Mother Goose. What is Mother Goose?
What do you mean? What is
I don't
Mother
know
goose?
What Mother Goose is.
Mother Goose is a
she's a goose. That she's
you know, loose? You actually ask an interesting question because Mother Goose is a figure of fairy tales. Fairy tales is not the right term.
Folk tale.
Yeah.
Children's.
What is Mother Goose?
What? Right.
When I was a child, I had a when I was a child of hippies in the early 90s, I had a children's book of Father Gander tales that was meant to be more progressive. And I would love to get God, I'd love to see that now, because like the idea of what makes a progressive children's book in the late '80s, early '90s is like, I would love to see what that was actually like now. I love the illustrations in it. Maybe I should see if I can find a copy of that. Anyway,
that's wild.
I love to suddenly be like, oh my God, I desperately need to have a copy of that book that I remember from my childhood, and then buy it, because most books from my childhood you can buy on eBay for like a pound.
Yeah.
And then be like, why did I, now I just have this in my house.
There you go. Like, you're just collecting things.
I actually bought a used copy of a book that is actually usually very expensive, but I found a copy that was like kind of semi-destroyed by a child. That was like £4 or something. So I was like, I'm going to buy this book that I remember the illustrations from. I remember them being so beautiful. I'm going to cut them out of the book and frame them, since the book is already basically destroyed. You're giving me the weirdest look. Why?
I just, I have a tangent right after you.
Okay. But all so all it is that I then looked through the book and I was like, oh, the messages in this book are like really bad. like there's so much about like, oh, if you're ugly, it's because you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And if you learn to become good, you'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
And then also like a lot of the illustrations are anti-Semitic characters. But of anyway.
Course. Absolutely.
What were you going to say?
This week, I hit the jackpot at a charity shop and I purchased a DVD that is Hinge and Bracket Garlet Evenings. Let me get the DVD for you because it is incredible. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Hinge and Bracket Gala Evenings. Okay, hold on. That's like just a largely like random selection of words in an order.
Britannia, like, this is like Britain.
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. So in the 1960s and 70s, there was a drag duo called Hinge and Bracket.
Incredible.
And they were one of them was like a doctor and the other one was a retired opera singer, and they lived in like they lived in a fictional like village in England, and they had multiple TV shows and multiple like this. So the DVD is a selection of like gala concerts that they did from the 1970s to the 1990s.
Incredible.
And I was expecting it to be like hard comedy, pantomime dames. It is not. It is insane.
Oh.
It is a straight classical concert.
Oh my God. I love
starring
this.
Two drag queens, one on the piano, one singing. And they're like,
This is incredible.
The absolute lightest of light entertainment that anyone could ever ask. Like, you would never, ever. The three that I watched the other day, you could absolutely never get away with doing that on the BBC now, because it is so boring. It is so boring.
Wow, what a find.
It was incredible.
I've never heard of
50p.
Them.
Wow. My singing teacher used to bring up Hinge and Bracket a lot. She meant well.
Did she?
She meant well.
Okay.
Shout out to Gail. Love you, miss you. You're way too expensive for me these days.
Fascinating. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
It's incredible. Wow. You can absolutely borrow it.
I will absolutely borrow it. Amazing.
It's genuinely, I was like blown away amazing. By it, because it is just like straight classical pops concerts.
Fascinating.
In like Birmingham Town Hall.
Wow.
In the 1970s. It's incredible.
This is very exciting.
It's so good. Yeah, it's incredible.
This is great.
Anyway, in Astrometrics, this guy is like, there's a lot of Borg out there. And they're like trying to find a home or whatever. And then the guy's like, how are we ever going to do it when our technology is 900 years out of date? And I had to like look up what was going on 900 years before like today. Turns out it was a leap year.
Yeah.
So congratulations to them. This guy is like, give us weapons, Janeway. And Janeway's like, no. And they want to do colonization and they want to take Voyager. And so in Astrometrics, this guy tries to hit on Seven or whatever. And he's like, you're like no Borg I've ever met. Seven and Neelix have like a catch up in Cargo Bay B. And Neelix is like, so I've been going over the records and all of the folk tales are like, this army appears out of nowhere, destroys everything, and then disappears. And Seven's like, let me just check everything, because this seems to correlate with the vibe I'm getting from these guys. Janeway confronts this guy and she's like, she can't ignore history. And Janeway is like, so they're like trying to make their like escape of the planet with all these guys, because they're still going to help out because mm-hmm. they're good sports.
Yeah.
And they're like, you deactivate your cannons except for like three, and then like, and then we're going. Otherwise, we're not. And you can stay here, and we'll leave. And then they like go up or whatever. There's like a space fight or whatever. They hail the Turei, and Janeway is like, hey, girl, you want to team up one last time? And the Turei is like, fine, I guess. and Janeway like teams up with another girly. It's a real messy end or whatever. And they do something or whatever. I was sleepy. do you have anything for this?
There was really.
Just space, I mean, fight things.
Yeah,
happened.
I didn't write much down about this. I, you know, and listeners know that I do struggle with the like
the who, what, when, where, and how
of space fights
journalism. I know they go up and then they have to come back down, essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
and then the Turei is like getting them because they're using the satellites from previously.
Yeah.
And Tuvok is there or whatever, and they're gonna fix something or break something. I don't know. Seven has. 54. Oh, so they like escape or whatever. Finally, Voyager like takes off and gets away. And then, Seven, they like, I don't know, they do something that stops the Fedwar like moving around or something. But then,
I mean, I'm laughing, but I also didn't write down anything that would explain that. So,
in the end, it turned out that there were 53 Fedwar ships in the space corridors.
Yeah.
And what we learn at the end is that Seven learned her lesson and probably shouldn't have woken up that guy.
Yeah.
And I think she learned something this week.
I think she did learn something this week.
Wow.
It was like wild that Seven just like silently started waking up someone in the stasis chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Just... I'm not convinced that that is something she would do.
No.
Like, I understand what point they were making, and I understand that she's like, she's not used to working in a hierarchical way, so she's not used to, or a collaborative way. To be more accurate.
Yeah.
Same. I just think that she is more rational and prudent than that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Anyway, and that's the end of the episode. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, we could do some segments.
Shall we? I mean, that's the end of the television episode.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm tired.
End of ep. We like fold it there. We're like, no segments, actually.
Bye.
Okay.
No, segments. Segment.
Wigs. Wigs.
That's too loud.
That was, my entire body just shook a little bit.
I saw it.
There was a lot of wigs in this. I liked the neck thing.
Yeah,
to the
aliens
thing.
With neck things.
Yeah,
it was good.
All the to be gunky cartilage.
It was well done, I thought.
Yeah, how would you choke one of them out?
With difficulty. With great difficulty.
Yes. Any other wigs? Janeway's bob is bobbing.
Janeway's bob is bobbing.
I feel like we started this show being like, Janeway, she has big hair, and since sooner or later she'll get to a bob.
Yeah.
And I feel like the bob has become slowly more, like, just bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I think
so. It was like a normal bob several seasons ago, and now it's like a blowout bob. Like, they're getting very Hollywood with it.
They are.
Which I love. Probably because it became a wig.
Yeah, it probably did.
Anyway.
Stay out of the nebula.
What was the nebula in this episode?
The nebula, space, the final frontier. What do you think the nebula was?
I think the nebula is history.
Oh, yes. Yes, that does
do
make
I
sense.
Have anything to say about that?
There's like Cold War references.
Yeah, and just like the
territory
trying to unpick. Yeah, trying to unpick who is the good guy, who is the bad guy. Mm. Does that framework even work? Maybe not.
Who are your allies? Who are your enemies?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are your allies and enemies?
You're my ally and my enemy. But I am my own worst enemy.
That's fair. That's fair.
Who are your allies and enemies?
I feel like my allies in this room more like...
Well, there's only two of us of here, so that might limit our options.
Oof, I mean, it didn't limit you, apparently. I think I would rate this episode. you know what? I had a great time. 9 out of 10. Heels in a cave.
No, I've written...
What have you written?
I've written 4 out of 5 heels in the cave.
Yes! It's Heels in the Cave week.
Heels in the Cave.
Heels in the Cave. Heels in the Cave.
It's, I wrote, it's a good episode. I don't remember it at all, but it's a good
episode to watch. It's a good day to die.
Heels in the Cave. Heels in the Cave.
Heels in the Cave. Bitches say shit and they ain't say nothing.
100 motherfuckers can't tell me nothing.
No, I bees in the heels in the cave.
I heels in the cave.
Heels in the cave. If you wasn't so ugly, I put my heels in your cave. Heels in your cave.
I don't know that.
This is a different song. Yeah. It's Come on a Cone.
Oh. Of course it is. Oh boy.
Oop. Anyway, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, but I made a terrible noise then.
Oh.
No, I have nothing to plug. You have many things to plug.
I have so many things to plug. Hello.
This is coming out on the 29th of April.
Oh, I have so many things to plug. Okay, here we go. Sam Hickman Summer Tour on the 6th of May. I am at the Brighton Fringe doing my show, Sexy Root Harp Concert, at 8 p.m. at the Ironworks Studios in Studio C. Tickets are £10. On the 15th of June, I am doing that very same show in London at the King's Head Theatre at 9:45 p.m. Tickets are £15. Play London games, win London prizes. On the 5th of July, I am doing that very same show, but the bigger version, the extended version, with an interval and several costume changes, at Umma Pontypridd at 7:30. Tickets are £8.
Amazing.
South Wales, baby. if you are about on the 4th of August... Wait, hold on. Hold on.
You gotta get it right.
The 4th of August at 3 p.m., I will be performing at the Eisteddfod in Pontypridd.
Yes, you will.
What am I gonna be playing? Who knows? lots of things coming soon. Lots and lots of things coming soon. It's all happening, baby. Maybe this is the year I stop being poor. Who knows? Anyway, that is, I think, all of my plugs.
Amazing and exciting summer for Sam.
Yeah, it's
and for all of us.
Oh,
to get
and
to
on
see
the 15th of May, I am doing the Big Queer Picnic fundraiser at the Moon at 7 p.m. I don't know what tickets are, but I'm doing a 20-minute set of new material that Kat has listened to some of.
I got to hear a preview today. It's great stuff. Genuinely great stuff.
Thank you.
And you should definitely come.
Anyway,
also come and support the Big Queer Picnic because
oh yeah, definitely
they need funding this year, and we are going to make that happen for them.
Yeah.
Not us specifically. We the community.
Not me. I'm dead. I'm volunteering my time.
Yeah,
so.
No, you are,
and my star power.
Yes.
Anyway, I have been hyperlocal celebrity woman on tour, and Sam Hickman,
and I've been Kat Deerfield,
and this was women talking about Star Trek Voyager.
They say in space no one can hear you scream. Starfleet's on hell of a place. Now we've come to the end of our show. Did you survive or will you die in disgrace?